the year-in and year-out question at quarterback, both short and long-term, another running back, possibly another receiver, a tight end or two, a left tackle, maybe a right tackle, another D-lineman, a pass-rushing linebacker, an inside linebacker, a few corners, a free safety, and maybe a strong safety, and add kicker to that list. Other than that, the New York Jets are in good shape right now.
So basically a typical offseason for the Jets.
Kind of what it looks like, but where do we go from here? How do the holes get filled?
Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast.
NYJ Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five, dead or alive.
NYJ
Couch Scouts.
Welcome, everybody, to another installment of the NY Jets Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host today, producer Giovanni Garcia.
How are we doing, Jets fans?
Happy to be back behind the mic and ready to talk a little Jets football as we enter the offseason here.
It's unavoidable, I feel like, but do you really want to open up with this? Should we do it?
You kind of have to. Go ahead. Before we get into any movement on the coaching staff, players, we got to talk about our biggest and possibly baddest storyline of the offseason.
Darrell Revis, man. What is going on with that guy?
2:45 in the morning back home in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania last weekend. Gets approached by two gentlemen across the street talking about his outfit. Are you Darrell Revis? Assures them that he is. And then from there it gets a little choppy, but cell phones come out. You follow Revis and two guys wind up sleeping on the curb as the aftermath of the altercation. I mean, it really, it's as cut and dry as that. And it's going to be a big story because we're the New York Jets, because of the media, because it's Darrell Revis. But in reality, don't follow a grown man at 3 a.m. and have your cell phone out when he happens to be a celebrity in his hometown and expect a different outcome if you act up. Am I wrong?
I mean, having spent more than my fair share of
of 3 a.m. on a quarter?
In Pennsylvania, no less. I mean, yeah, no, that seems pretty typical, man. This is, in situations like that, I really want to side with the celebrity. You know what I mean? You can't really side against him.
I almost will always.
Absolutely. You're basically looking for trouble at that point. You're looking for something. And most times, at that time, with that much, you know, alcohol in the air.
It's a good way to put it.
You know, you're going to find trouble.
Bars in the area. It's a good way to put it.
I mean, come on.
But you're talking about two counts of aggravated assault, one count of robbery, one count of conspiracy, and a misdemeanor of making terroristic threats. Those are three different felonies, four felonies in total. And you got to be kidding me. The guys got put to sleep. It is what it is. They handled their business. Now, the part of the story that gets in and out is he's seen talking to them. Then he's seen by a witness crossing the street talking to somebody else. All right. Maybe he put a little bit on each one of them and went and talked with his boy. What's the problem? He kept his hands clean. Is that not what you want as a fan base? Now, it's a story because he's got to turn himself in and he faces the book here.
Yeah.
But anybody who's been in trouble, not that I ever have with the law,
right? Yeah.
But anybody who's been in trouble, they throw everything at you so they can take a couple things away, get one or two to stick, and everybody's happy.
Especially if you're famous, you know what I mean? Especially if you're rich and you're famous. Well, maybe not rich, but as long as you're famous, you're going to get a little bit extra thrown at you in those scenarios just because of who you are, you know what I mean, more or less. And I know I'm laughing, but these are very, very serious accusations that he could be facing and charges that could
he
really...
He ain't doing a day. Get away from me with this. He just recently switched representation. He hired the guy that got Harrison off. He's got himself a big-time lawyer. Like I said, he's in his hometown, and the guy's got a spotless resume to this point.
Yeah, he might not be doing any time, but what does this mean for the rest of his contract and the rest of his career in the NFL?
Now, that's where you steer it toward the Jets and the $6 million that he's on the books for. And there has been a little bit of chatter of what they can do about that, but in my eyes, why do anything about that? Do you want to rock that cradle?
Personally, myself, I really don't know what I would make of this situation at all, especially with what we're dealing with everywhere else. This isn't something that I really wanted to give that much attention to. What do you think?
There's a lot of other avenues that this team can go to create cap space. And Darrell Revis was one of them as it is, making close to 7.5 if we were to let him go, and biting the bullet right now. The 1 out of 10 of him coming back to the 2017 New York Jets, that door might have closed with this altercation and with the surroundings that are going to come with this. But nonetheless, I don't really think he was going to be part of this team for this upcoming season.
Who offers him a contract, though?
If he wants to play, does he want to play? Does he want to play corner? Does he have to go to free city? These are all questions that have to be answered before you even get to that point.
I think the question is, does he want to still make money?
Now, what a lot of people talked about with us was restructuring the deal, being able to make back some of that money with incentives, and dropping his base down to somewhere around what his guaranteed was down, since we had to keep him anyway. Now, I don't think that's going to be entertained. And it's just an unfortunate ending, both here and to really an extraordinary career. I hope this isn't the end of Darrell Revis, but if he wants it to be, he's done more than enough to ride off into whatever sunset this would be.
Given everything that's happened right now, given his career and how we started the year off talking smack with, at least I'm still going to be a Hall of Fame player, what do you think this means for his chances of being in the Hall of Fame, seeing what's happening with players like Terrell Owens?
I don't really think it means much. I think Terrell Owens is a much different case. Good point. It looks a little different at its face right now, but I really do think it's a different set of circumstances surrounding. And truthfully, I don't think this is anything other than a couple of guys who were acting like jerk-offs, for a lack of a better term, and got knocked out. Case closed. Drop it. It's done.
Yeah, that's not the world that we live in.
That's not the way it goes anymore. So now this is turning himself in. A video gets released by TMZ. Clearly not his voice. Anybody who's heard him speak over the past 10, 12 years of his career, whatever, will tell you that's not Darrell Revis. But he's turning himself in because he's the figurehead. He's the big name in the story. And then once it gets clear, this is just a black cloud that now hangs over him for what? For what? It's unfortunate, and I hope this isn't tied into the end of this man's career, because what we saw for a long time was special, and I went on a rant right here on this Couch Scouts podcast about how we were all wrong. I wound up being the one that was wrong. He wasn't the same old Darrell Revis last year, but I still think the man could be a hell of a football player. Whether he wants to go to free safety, has to go to free safety, or becomes a serviceable zone corner who plays into his physicality and technique. Whatever it is, I think Darrell Revis should hold the keys to that. He's earned that.
Very, very well put. I want to get off this topic, honestly.
That's fine with me. Let's get into somebody who didn't earn what they made last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Sayonara. Officially off the New York Jets. Contract voided as of, I believe it was February 10th. We are carrying a $5 million that a lot of people will talk about, but it was the right way to structure it at the time for the position we were in, and we all thought it was a great move then. What has transpired since then is the reason we look at this like the gift that keeps on giving. But he's gone. That door is definitely shut, and we can move on from there, so everybody can have a little solace in that.
What happens to Fitzpatrick?
Again, much in a different light, but like I was saying with Revis, what does he want to happen? Fitzpatrick could go back somebody up, but he's made a nice amount of money in this league. Yep. He's bounced around a lot. He's got a big family. Do you want to move him to a different area? Did he get comfortable in Jersey? He got basically a nice chunk of change for free last year.
Yeah.
So he got something to sit on. I'm sure he invested his money. What does he want to do? I definitely think he's at a point of his career, though, where he can still bounce around and back people up, because he is talented enough to do that and smart enough and an asset to a quarterback room.
All right. What about his BFF, Chan Gailey?
Gailey retires, and, you know, for a team that was told, or at least I should say, for a team that told us that they were made aware of these plans, it took a long time to hire an OC. We wound up with what we hope is a good one in Johnny Morton, but it took a while, and that's weird to me because was this a firing in the form of retirement where people resign from their employment, but really they were getting fired and they were leaving with dignity. They're leaving with dignity. Is this one of those situations? Because for me, if you had a plan in place, and maybe that was Kevin Petullo, our quarterback coach who we let go with Gailey, if you had a plan in place, that plan took a while to get executed. So I just got questions regarding that.
I have a question now, because you just said it, the way you phrased it, we let Petullo go with Gailey. Now, that to me sounds like someone who's leaving with someone else, because Chan Gailey announced his retirement or he resigned. Is there just a real, I don't know how to really phrase it, but is there turmoil inside of the coaching staff of the New York Jets?
I don't want to say turmoil. It's turnover. And that's what does happen year in and year out with these staffs. You got to remember, Bowles was only coming into his second season. So there's a lot of guys. Perfect, for instance, is Keith Armstrong, the special teams coach in Atlanta. Bowles' roommate in college, played ball with him. We've been rumored to be linked with him the last two off seasons in the past. We haven't been able to get our hands on him. And we've gone with Bobby April. We bounced back last year with Brant Boyer.
Great pickup.
Let's hope so. He needs to bounce back this year, though, because our special teams was a turnstile.
Our special teams reflected halfway through the season. The rest
I
of the
believe
the
it was
team.
68 or 69 different guys played special teams for us. That's asinine. So I'll give him a pass on that. But we all love the delivery, love the voice, what we saw in camp. I need to see production on the field. Getting back to where we were going, staff's turnover on a regular basis, and Bowles hasn't really been able to bring, quote-unquote, his guys in, per se, yet. What you were getting at that I felt you hit the nail on the head was Petullo leaving with Gailey was the words you put together there. Quarterback coach goes with OC. In terms of installment of the offense, what they want from the most important position on the field. It is a package deal. And that's why the hiring of Jeremy Bates, along with John Morton, they had a little bit of a pass at that Southern Cal. The hiring of Bates 4 years out of the NFL, whatever the reasoning for that is, I'm hoping it had something to do family, and I can't see a young guy. This guy was 33 years old. He was the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. McVay, who just got signed in Los Angeles to become the head coach of the Rams, is 31. This guy was on that type of fast track in this league, and then boom, was gone. So what the reasoning is behind that may come out, may not, his business. What can you bring the New York Jets that we all love and root for? And the Jets either see something or recommend it through Morton, they're going to work hand in hand, and it's a position that they got to get figured out. But also leaving offensively, so just so we could put a bow on this, Marshall Shipp, the running back coach. Defensively, Pepper Johnson. Little turmoil last year. Terrible interview. Doesn't interview. He's not going to answer any questions. That's an interview. So I don't know what we're really doing here. Was supposedly a little abrasive in terms of delivery to players, and was raw, was the word I believe was used in his assessment of guys to the coaching staff. Now, I don't know if I have so much of a problem with that, but if it's not relating to our ball players, it's not relating. And you look at the year Muhammad Wilkerson had and the way he acted up. Let's forget about on the field. Let's talk about off the field.
Right.
These guys were almost revolting. So if this is could be addition by subtraction, so be it. It was a move we all applauded when it happened, so had high hopes for Pepper Johnson. Mark Collins, our outside linebackers coach, and Joe Dana, our defensive backs coach. Defensive backfield was a joke last year. I mean, nobody's going to argue either way about that. We brought in Morton, as we said, along with Bates. Mick Lombardi, offensive assistant and assistant quarterback coach. Ties to Lombardi, who also ties to New England and all that. So always some type of tie in there. Jason Vrabel, offensive assistant. Stump Mitchell. This is the type of guy I feel a Bowles wanted to get his hands on and couldn't until now. Comes over from Arizona. No nonsense guy. Played 8-9 years in the league. Can bring something to this room. And I feel we're going to be adding a young running back to this room. So somebody who's used to grooming a David Johnson type. Let's hope we can get that type of production. Kevin Green, possibly my favorite pickup of the offseason for the New York Jets. And the true offseason hasn't even begun yet. pass rushing specialist. You want somebody who's going to come in and light a fire under somebody's ass, it's Kevin Green. We all know this from the time he played with the WWF type look. Kevin Green's got the attitude. Stepped away from the league, came up coaching. Once he retired, stepped away from the league last 3 years, a la Bates situation. He's coming back, and luckily he's coming back on our staff. And lastly, Joe, I'm going to say Giacobbe, assistant special teams coordinator. Excuse me. Strength and conditioning coordinator. We already crossed that bridge. So that's the little roundup there with the coaching staff. And no, I don't think it's a turmoil situation. I just think it's a turnover situation for your original question.
All right, but are we looking at the OC and his assistants as the scapegoats for what happened last year? Or
sure, I'll buy that. Okay. If we're talking about how we said morning, excuse me. That was a debacle. If we're talking about how Gailey was a retirement, quote unquote, which was really a firing, then yeah, I'll buy that. And I really feel Casey Rogers, our defensive coordinator, should have been the scapegoat, but he's got close ties to Bowles. And if that's somebody Bowles wants by his side and you're going to rock out with Bowles, you got to make sure he's comfortable.
What about the production that we got out of our O-line coaches?
I got to be more than happy with our offensive line last year when you look at the amount of spots we had to fill in. A rookie in Shell, we were hoping a redshirt like Hackenberg had to start 3-4 games. You look at a left tackle who was swing man in Ajalana, and then a right side swings over to the left, winds up starting 8 or 9 games for us. Brian Winters goes down, who you want to look at the progression he's made over the last 2 years. That's why he got 4 years, $29 million, $15 million guaranteed to not hit free agency and to come back and lock down the right side for this New York Jets offensive line this year. I really am happy with that move by the Jets. You show being proactive with a guy who's earned it. Came in, you bounced him around positions a little bit. He was already transitioning from offensive tackle in college to guard in the NFL, and he's done everything you can ask him to do. Little bit of a tough ass like that on the offensive line, and we need the continuity inside, because right now James Carpenter and Brian Winters are the only two things out of the 5 positions that offensive line has to be filled that you can say we're all right.
Yeah, speaking of tackles though, we did add somebody.
We added Jeff Adams, swingman. We also added another tackle that McCagnan had a history with. But right now it's just the addition of bodies, and we have the openings on the line where bodies can help, and hopefully you strike gold, we got a spot for him. Right now, our left tackle position, it's really a little scary if you want to look at a depth chart of Donald Hawkins and Jeff Adams. You go over to the right side, we're all assuming Giacomini gets released. You're looking at a second-year guy in Shell who came out, and we traded a fifth-round pick to get into the fourth round and take him. And Brent Quale, who we had high hopes for, had a little bit of an injury-plagued year last year. So our tackle position as a whole is in a flux. But how do you fill it? Because you're looking at a weak draft at tackle where you can get somebody like a Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin. We're not in a position to, and really won't be in a position in round 2 to take any real value at that position. And free agency, the best one's 35 years old or so, and Andrew Whitworth, who Cincinnati's made a priority to bring back. We flirted with Kelvin Beachum last year. With us declining the $10.5 million option on Ryan Clady, which we did a few days ago, that puts him into that market. But on the other hand, we've had time to try to renegotiate something with him, and we haven't. So that's a go shop around, and we'll see what we got here.
Yeah, but looking at how McCagnan's handled past contracts with this team, do you think this is something that comes down to the 11th hour?
Absolutely, and it always has, because that's a great point. Right now, we were in a position where we're eating $500,000, and we got $10 million in cap room. With this move, we are 1.49 over the cap. And I say over in terms of in the green. We were in the red. It was a bleak situation if you just looked at it at its face. But when you look at a Brandon Marshall, a Nick Mangold, a David Harris, possibly moving on from a Sheldon, which we're going to touch on, we're going to be fine with money. It's just a matter of how do we want to allocate it. And it's what it's going to come down to.
You want to talk about that D-line right now?
Where do you want to go with the D-line?
What about the claim we made for that defensive tackle?
Mike Pinnell is, I believe, how it's pronounced, Green Bay. Reached out to a close friend of mine, Ben Fennell, does a lot of film work for the NFL. And the story that was given back to me was basically the story of Damon Big Snacks Harrison with the Jets. Guy who came on undrafted, super small school, and just impressed to the point where he made the 53 outright. and they felt they had the type of run stuffer on the inside that they can grow with on their defense. Unfortunately, suspended twice last year, I believe three times overall for different infractions with the NFL. And it's a weird situation because the Jets claimed a player who doesn't have a contract. The Jets basically have 2 months to see this guy come in and out of the building, try to get a little bit of a feel for what he is, and decide if they want to tender him because he's currently a restricted free agent. The Packers moved on basically as soon as he became reinstated from the NFL. So it was just a weird spot where the Jets pick up somebody that they then have to re-sign, not knowing much about. But a body on the inside, you only have Deion Simon. And what's the future with McClendon, who battled some soft tissue stuff this year? The Jets can make a little money on his deal. Really, you want to wait for 2018 to move on from that deal, where you make, I believe, an estimated $4 million getting out of it. Right now, you're not making much, and I like the play we got from McClendon. All in all, if you are moving on from a Sheldon, which if you want to cross that bridge, let's get there now, we'll have a spot for a body on the D-line. And that's where I was going in the intro, when, of course, I was trying to pad a couple positions and make it seem worse, but we really could possibly use another defensive lineman. You don't know what you're getting from an Anthony Johnson in year two, a guy who was brought in last year, activated, and played quite well for us down the stretch. Another young guy. Hopefully he can hit something a la Leger Douzable of a few years ago, but you don't know that. So these are all bodies we're bringing in, much like offensive tackle, as we just said. You hope to strike on one or two of them. You get a 2-3 year vet depth guy out of it. Nothing wrong with that.
Do you think that Sheldon's attitude last year may have influenced the decision that the front office makes with him?
I think Sheldon's attitude the last 2.5 years has influenced this front office to a point where he was the $100 million man, and now we're hoping to get a 3 and a 5 for him.
Yeah, but...
And I really think that's what we get for a Sheldon. I knew that would stop you there, and it did. A 3 and a 5 is what I think at best you get for Sheldon Richardson. And a 3 and a 5 equals a 2? I don't think you can get a 2. And that's crazy to think. Defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah,
guy we have mishandled for the past 2-3 seasons. But if you just put him at the 3 technique with his ass in the air and let him shoot gaps, he will wreak havoc on the defensive side of the ball for somebody. And why the New York Jets should definitely trade him to the National Football Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. But he did come out with some fire the first quarter of last season.
Absolutely, but then we started moving him to outside linebacker, and now we're putting him in space. Again, we talked about the play he made in San Francisco on this podcast. A 310-pound defensive lineman shouldn't be able to make it. He can. That's why, even going back to Rex, we've experimented with this. This man is a 3-technique, 4-3 DT. Let him do what he does, and you will get the 8.5-9 sacks that we were flirting with years ago in Sheldon Richardson, and why he was going to be the $100 million man, and we were going to move on from Mo, because I think we can all agree that the plan was to move on from Mo. And now you're looking at Mo and Leo, and we're talking about, can we get a 3 for Sheldon? And it's so unfortunate, because I think the guy's a special, special talent.
What about moving Mo?
You can move Mo, and there was actually just an article written, I believe it was Jason McIntyre at Over the Cap, and basically $15 million is the real big number right up front in making a move with Mo. But for a team acquiring him, you're looking at not all that bad of a deal with the way trades would go down in the NFL and the way the contract would get moved, and the type of number that, number one, you can get out of, and number two, you're more than happy to afford if he turns into the Muhammad Wilkerson of 2015. So it's an interesting what about, but getting back to where you led this question off, his attitude. I think his attitude played himself off of this team. So even if they could move Mo, and I believe what I'm about to say they would do, even if they could move Mo, I think they would still move Sheldon. And I think they would be happy to move both of them right now. If they can just rosy glasses real quick and say, what can I get done and nobody would know that I want to do? That's it. I think they'd be more than happy to get out of Mo, get out of Sheldon, start afresh with Leo, keep McClendon as a veteran on the inside, hope to hit on Simon, and build that D-line from there. I really believe that.
You heard that here first.
Not really, though. Not really, because it's something that is feasible. It's something that is feasible and has been brought up. It's not realistic, but it is feasible. Getting into a little bit of guys who somebody like our normal co-host Justin would say, who cares? But guys like this host, Pete Antonelli, do care. A couple futures guys we brought in, and these are the type of guys that fill out practice squads, fill out rosters, and are guys that truthfully, when you hit on, become the great stories of the NFL. A guy like Frank Beltre, who we brought in from the CFL. We hope we got something in a Freddie Bishop III, who we brought in last year from the CFL. These are the type of stories you hear about 3 years from now when a guy's getting a big deal. These are when these guys sign their original contracts.
And it's things like these that make you say that McKagan is his superstar GM.
Sure, sure. And the eye that he would have for talent. And okay, I'm fine with that. Because this is a great for instance for that. This is the work that gets done when everybody just sees 53 guys on a field. These are the guys that we're looking at. Other teams, preseason, why we're sending guys out to San Francisco. This is why. You're looking at names. You're looking at other players that you think are hitting a waiver wire in 5 months that you can potentially have a future with you. So I'm fine with the way you put that. A little bit of a tip of the hand here. We bring him back the fullback position. And if we are a name that I want to drop right now that you will hear first, as far as I know, Kyle Juszczyk, fullback from the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have had a good fullback year in and year out, yet for some reason they always let him walk and they don't pay them. I would be willing to overpay for Kyle Juszczyk. He brings so much to an offense. Harvard guy, I believe, hitting free agency and just said today, you know, I'd love to stay in Baltimore, but if a better opportunity comes along, I'm going to take it. I wouldn't mind that better opportunity being here if we're bringing back the fullback. But the next two names on this list, Julian Housaw, guy who was in camp with us last year, and Chris Swain. Miles White, another guy who spent time with us last year at the receiver position, along with Deshaun Fox, Darius Jennings, and Frankie Hammond. Tight end, former quarterback Jason Vanderlane. We gave a nice little chunk of change to after last year's draft to come in. Kenny Anunique, we also brought in last year along with Claude Pelon. And Jeff Luke was a guy who I believe is 2 years ago he came out of Cincinnati. Inside linebacker, squatty guy, much like a Jeremiah George who Johnny Idzik drafted, part of the Idzik 12. Interesting guy, would have to make his money on special teams to make this team, but just a name to watch. Ross Martin, kicker to challenge folk again. And two long snappers, Zach Treiner and Josh Latham. And those are two names that will go under the radar, especially with that position. But when you look at the years in that we have with our long snapper, Tanner Purdom, and the amount of money that it now costs to bring back a guy like that at the minimum, the Jets are going to start to try to rob Peter to pay Paul in certain parts of the roster again. It's what we have to do every year. And this is an area where you might be able to save a $600,000, $700,000 toward the cap. So two names to keep an eye on, Latham and Treiner.
Let me ask you, are we trying to hit any home runs while we're playing Moneyball?
You're always trying to hit a home run playing Moneyball, whether you're aiming for a single or not. You're always trying to knock it out of the park with every transaction you do. And it's why the bottom of the roster gets churned the way it does. You can look at it glass half full or glass half empty. Did that guy get cut, or did we not want that guy walking the streets anymore without a contract from the New York Jets? So how do you want to look at it? But bottom of the roster is supposed to be Moneyball, and we're always swinging for the fences because there's always spots on this roster where we need bodies.
All right, so who are the Jets' potential free agent targets?
Free agent targets? Well, let's get into our free agents, no? I mean, we got to kind of look at even more holes that could potentially be made on this team. It is a list that, trust me, we're not knocking down the door for too many of them. Fitzpatrick and Clady, we already discussed, both technically on that list with Fitz's contract void and Clady's option being declined. Kellen Davis, I will not even entertain it. This is a new year. It's a new me. We're moving on. Tanner Purdom, we just touched on. Ben Ajelana, swing guy the Jets have already said they're very interested in bringing back. Bruce Carter, he can stay. He can go. It is what it is. Corey Lemonnier had a nice sack to wrap up the year, but basically a speed guy who wants to come in, fight for a job, so be it. If we were to lose him, we lose him. Antonio Allen, a guy who I think the clock's up on here with the Jets. Josh Martin's a name I want brought back. Best special teamer we had last year, hands down. And Mike Catapano, guy from the inside moved to the outside. Those are our unrestricted free agents. Restricted, we have Marcus Williams, Wesley Johnson, and Brandon Bostic. And for me, the first two are names that I'm bringing back. Williams, rough year last year, but for what we expected, I'm willing to say that was a little bit of a fluke. Let's get him back into that number four, number five corner spot, and let's let him come in on the dime and refresh and run around and see if we can get that old Marcus Williams back. Wesley Johnson's a guy you have to bring back. because you don't know what the Nick Mangold situation brings, and you really don't know what you can rely on Mangold for at this point. So he's a guy who put in good work last year, and I think is a shoo-in to get some type of a tag.
Before we get into the free agents that we're targeting, let me ask you this. How many players do you give a pass on last year because of the situation and the direction that team's record was heading in that we all knew was going to happen after the first quarter of the season?
What do you mean by a pass? Do you mean in terms of everything you put on tape, I'm going to basically ignore?
I'm talking about in terms of Muhammad Wilkerson and Brandon Marshall basically quitting after week four.
Had this conversation with the man, Big Pete, already. Muhammad Wilkerson, I hope he can get back to what he was, and I hope this wasn't, you know, who he is. To me, you got to give Big Mo the benefit of the doubt. And the Muhammad Wilkerson we saw for 5-6 years before he got paid and before he did what he did this season with meetings and this and birthday cake and that, I got to believe that's not Mo. I got to believe frustration boiled over from the ineptitude of this offense and what they were doing week in and week out to hurt this football team and the fact that nothing was getting done about it. I have to believe that type of situation seeped into even a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson's temperament and attitude.
That's kind of awful to hear because you see guys like Rontez Miles not quitting until
part of that unit.
Bilal Powell, oh my gosh.
Bilal Powell.
Factor back.
Putting teams on his back in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm telling you, those are the guys you see really hustling until the final whistle of the final game.
Now,
you
listen,
know what I mean?
We tied up all this offseason stuff. We might have been a little choppy in spots there. I was just trying to cover it all. Can we talk about one thing for 27? Matt Forte is almost definitely going to be on this team. We could agree on that, right?
Yes, sir.
Who's your starting running back?
Matt Forte.
Because of resume,
because of the name, because of the fact
we brought him in to be our running back.
And because if we get 8 games out of him, I'll take Bilal Powell for the second half of this season until his legs fall off.
Oh, man, listen, Bilal Powell deserves to be the starting running back week one this year.
Bilal Powell deserves a much better contract than he has.
I agree with you. No, he's got a good contract. He makes more money than Forte at this point in his career. And next year's hit, when we're getting out of Forte, I believe we're going to actually look at putting a year or two onto Powell's deal, and he would get a third contract, which is crazy to think in his position, but I think you spread out his hit, tack another year or two onto Powell and move on from Forte after next year. But with the thought of Forte and Powell going to be in the backfield for 2017, I'm telling you, I think Bilal Powell's my starting running back. And I'm using Forte as my, even though it's what Powell does as well, I'm using Forte as my third down, come in, chip, go out on passes, and I'm turning Matt Forte's role into a little bit of a receiver as well, so I can use him and Powell on the field at the same time. Something we begged Gailey to do. But in my backfield is Bilal Powell.
I guess, but I mean, like, you're talking about the same guy at two different phases in his career.
That's my point. So let's start to get, can we get more out of Forte by putting less on his plate? Absolutely.
Addition by subtraction.
Can we get more offensively by putting more on Bilal Powell's plate, Forte notwithstanding? Yes. We've been saying it for 3 years now. Get Bilal Powell the ball. So let's do it. Let's take a little off Forte's plate. And regardless of what type of year we have next year, record-wise, let's do best by our players for once and see what we got to work with.
See, I have a different philosophy on that. I think best by our players means that we don't burn Bilal Powell out this year because we're obviously not going anywhere. So let's burn what we have left in Matt Forte and then save Bilal Powell for the later half
Absolutely.
Of the season.
Good theory.
And for the next
Same
year.
As this year. Yeah, okay. I'd be fine with that, but you can't say that going into a year. Same way you can't say we're going to tank for a draft pick. Those are human beings. Bilal Powell carrying players on his back in San Francisco shows you what the athlete thinks of that. So you're not going to go into a year saying, listen, we're going to suck. So let's put these zombies out there. Let's just eat up innings right now and let's get on to 2018. You can't
really
say that.
It really feels like that was a conversation they had in the locker room at the beginning of last year, though.
You've been saying that since March of last year, though. Come on.
Tell me I was wrong.
I really can't though. Listen, let's throw a couple names free agency wise out there just for the hell
just
of it.
Few,
let's
right?
wrap this up here. AJ Boye, for me, this should be the New York Jets number one target of the offseason. Mike Maccagnan, player personnel director in Houston when this guy's an undrafted free agent. We're now 4 years later. He was the number one corner come season's end in Houston, and he should be number one on our board. Tight end Deion Sims out of Miami, another guy I'm keeping an eye on.
You got to
remember
off.
There's 31 other teams out there that are also bidding on these guys, though. So for every name that we bring up, I'm not bringing up the Le'Veon Bells or Eric Berry's. They ain't coming here.
No. I just want to go back to Boye. What issues does he solve in that backfield for us?
What, are you kidding me? Right now, who's your number one corner? We're talking about moving on from Revis. Who's your number one corner? We got a guy in screen we all love in the slot.
Yeah, no, I don't want to take him out of that position at all.
So Justin Burris, restricted free agent Marcus Williams,
do you give
practice
snaps?
Squad player Dex McDougal.
Give snaps to the other guys.
Former
to see
quarterback
where they come
Nick Marshall. Should I keep going? Bryson Keaton brought up week 17 last year. Who's your number one corner? And forget number one. Who's covering the other team's number one, even if you don't have a number one corner? That's why I said in the intro, multiple corners, a few. We need a few. Yeah, I can see us going after an A.J. Bouye and then turning around and taking a Marshawn Lattimore or a Tease Tabor at six.
Can we afford all that?
Yes, we will be able to.
Okay.
And these are all names we brought up. I'm actually happy we skipped it over in the rundown, and I wasn't even going to go there. But for money to be made, like I said, we're $1.5 million over the cap right now. We're in the green, but just there. You got moves. Folk saves you almost three. Aaron Henderson. Folk, it would be three. Aaron Henderson is almost three at 275. The guy's on the NFL inactive list right now. It's a move that's going to be made. Breno saves you 4.5. Gilchrist is going to be tricky with the injury, but you bounce up to David Harris, 6.5 clean. Even if you move on from that and bring him down on a contract that reflects a two down, maybe one down football player at this point in his career. Darrell, we talked about moving on, 7.3. Brandon Marshall, $7.5 million. Everybody expects him to be. And for me, one thing I want to say on Marshall, I'm trading him. If I'm done with Brandon Marshall, there's 20 teams around the league that
Absolutely.
Would take that $7.5 million. And there's 8 teams around the league where he makes the difference in them becoming a playoff
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely. Not only a playoff team, but how about taking the playoff team to the next level?
Exactly. Look at the Giants. You're
yep,
telling
you
me
go.
He doesn't come in? Now you take OBJ, whether you want to play him in the slot or Shepard in the slot. You put Shepard, OBJ, and Brandon Marshall, and with their lack of tight end production, now Marshall becomes their red zone target? Are you kidding me?
That's incredible.
And you get a low round pick. Maybe you recoup the 5 you traded for him, and we could hit the reset button now, 3 years in. But I'm moving on from Marshall if I am through trade. I'm not doing that through release. Sheldon Richardson, we talked about moving on from. That's 807 clean. And Nick Mangold, a big question mark, $9 million saved. Realistically, you're looking at 25, maybe 35. But as a whole, you wipe the slate, you're talking $40, $45 million that we could be sitting with when all said and done going into day one. It's not the situation it looks at its face. That's where we were going with that.
So this list that we're about to go over right now, this targeted free agent list, I was preparing to go shopping at the dollar store. You're going to Whole Foods with this, though.
No, let's say this. We're going to Whole Foods for tonight's meal.
Copy.
And then we're going to head over to Pathmark. We're going to get a couple things from Pathmark for the week. And then we're going to get by at the end of the week at the dollar store.
Just for reference, folks, Pathmark is not as inexpensive as it used to be.
Well, you know who is going to be expensive? Tony Jefferson. And he's a safety from Arizona that I am dying to let Bowles get his hands back on. They've already said they're going to be tagging Chandler Jones if they can't get a deal done with him. That puts them in a position where I don't think they would tag Tony Jefferson. I don't think they can afford to tag Tony Jefferson, and they wouldn't be able to if they had to use it on Jones. So we're rooting against a Chandler Jones contract, New York Jet fans, and we're rooting for Tony Jefferson hitting the open market. Another name just like Bouye, though, that is going to be unbelievably hot. Trumaine Johnson got the tag last year from the Rams. They let Janoris Jenkins go, had a great year with the Giants. He's now going to be a free agent, and the defensive backs coach we just brought in was his defensive backs coach for, I believe, the past 2 years in L.A., formerly St. Louis. So a little connection there that always makes a difference when you're going after a guy. You want to keep scrolling down a list of Logan Ryan, a big DB out of New England. I don't think Pryor gets out. I don't think we're the type of team that goes after him, but he's a big money guy. If you want to talk about a surprise splash we were trying to make last year in Olivier Vernon, can that guy... And would you be interested if that guy was Jason Pierre-Paul this year?
That's a hard question to answer.
How so? If you can have Jason Pierre-Paul at an astronomical figure on your football team to rush the passer, do you want that for the New York Jets next year? I wouldn't. I'm passing on that. Stephon Gilmore, corner out of the Bills, another guy who's only 26. Prince Amukamara, to me, not the type of corner I'm looking to really
invest
in.
Never became the guy that everybody thought he was going
to
be.
No, and that's why I'm not. I had a decent year in Jacksonville, but I wouldn't be willing to go to the contract lengths of a Gilmore with Amukamara.
You wouldn't give him what he's asking for.
Of a Trumaine Johnson, like I was just, of a Boye, no way am I going that way with Prince Amukamara, no.
Is this another situation like Sheldon, like just misused, or you feel like this guy just never developed
himself?
No, not
misused, just he was always hurt with the Giants. They moved on. He took a prove-it deal with Jacksonville. He kind of proved it. He's just not the type of guy that I want to build my defensive backfield around. I'm willing to do that with Trumaine Johnson, not as much as I want to with A.J. Boye, and I'm more than willing to do that with Stephon Gilmore. I'm not willing to do that. Logan Ryan, maybe. To me, he's a piece. I'm not willing to do that with Amukamara. I can't trust him. Same way to me, I can't trust Mo Claiborne out of Dallas. And I know we're focusing on corners here, but it's where I really think we make our first and possibly, if it would be, our only real big splash. A guy like J.C. Treader, center, guard out of Green Bay, supposedly they're moving on from him, but if Mangold's coming back and we're bringing back Wesley Johnson, Dakota Dozier, a young guy in Chris Watts we all liked last year, Carpenter and Winters, we're good on the inside. Our questions come on the outside where there's not that answer out there, free agency or draft right now. So question at tackle, just like we'll have questions going really throughout the entire offseason. But I don't see us as the type of team that should go out and spend big money on a Nick Perry, an outside linebacker in Green Bay, who started to show real promise last year. That to me is Calvin Pace all over again. That's when you're a good team trying to get over a hump. I don't go out and sign a Jabal Sheard. It's not the type of football player I'm looking for right now. I'm looking for the guy entering his prime that we can get five real years out of. Just a reasoning behind why I choose some of the names off these lists as we scroll through that I do to talk about. There's only certain situations where a guy's going to be willing to come here. We may have to overpay. And certain situations that are going to fit where we are right now as a football team.
Before we wrap this up, quarterback.
What about it?
Who's our starting quarterback next year?
Mike Glennon? Does that work for you?
No.
Nick Foles?
No, absolutely not.
I knew that. That was a layup there.
No.
Brian Hoyer?
I'd take Hoyer.
Okay. Can we keep in mind here, New York Jet fans? Brian Hoyer, if he says yes to us, Fitzmagic never happens.
We went down
to the wire with the Houston Texans for the services of Brian Hoyer. And it was after he was coming off of those couple good games with the Browns.
Right.
And he chose Houston. By choosing Houston, Fitz went on the block. They were moving on from him anyway. We traded a 7 to not have to negotiate with anybody else. Fitzmagic happened, and then we were in the position we were in last year. But if Hoyer says yes to us, the future, the past, the present, everything is different right now. And there's no denying that. So the interest was there when this regime was ready to start their build. The interest is going to be there this offseason. So be ready for that and be okay with it if it happens. Another one I'd even be okay with it happening is McCown.
Oh, I love
released
McCown.
Released from Cleveland. And I know you do, but I don't want to go as far as to say love. I think McCown fits what we need out of a quarterback right
for
now.
For that position, yeah.
The guy's going to be a coach, and supposedly a lot of people think he's going to be a good one. I think McCown can come in and coach up our young guys and be that bridge stopgap for now that we were hoping Fitz was going to be, and we'd be ready with the Petty right
Which
now.
Which we really do need, because Fitz didn't seem to be that guy that was really helping to mold our youth.
We're wrapping this up. We can't go there. We can't go there right
just
now.
Just doing it for Justin.
We're wrapping this up. I won't entertain it. The cycle, Justin, the cycle. It's a circle of trust. The cycle that we went through gets paid. He sucks. We miss you, buddy. Listen, I don't want to put you on the side of that 2%. We're going to put a cap on it there. That's as much as I'll entertain Fitz anymore on this show. We're moving on, and for this week, we're shutting it down. As usual, want to thank you guys for the download. We're going to be attacking this offseason hard. A lot of moves we've talked about you're going to see come to fruition. There's going to be some surprises. We're sitting nice and high draft. We're going to have money to spend in free agency, and you can get everything you need to know right here. So again, thank you for the download. Keep looking out for more. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Remember to throw us a follow on Twitter at NYJCouchScouts and send us questions or comments. And please keep a lookout for our future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to you, our producer Gio Garcia,
as well as
our co-founder David Schwenderman. And guys, thank you again. Happy to be back behind the mic, and we will be back shortly bringing you everything you need to know and hear about your New York Jets.
Thanks for listening, and as always,
till next week, Jet fans, let's get one.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free. Hey!